The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Confirmands, family and friends, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to this culmination of 3 years or more of study for our confirmands and a week now of celebrations here at St. Philip the Deacon. I want to start my remarks here with something you may not have expected given the weather outside. I know it's very cold and snowy, but I'm going to ask a question. Is anyone here a gardener? Few of you are gardeners. I think of that because my wife is a very serious gardener, and even though it's the middle of winter, she's always sort of planning for the next season and the plant she's going to plant or the perennials that she's going to nurture. And one of her enemies in that are these little critters called rabbits. Any gardeners have problems with rabbits? And so not long ago, she was reading an article about gardening and about the problem of rabbits, and it was about four other gardeners who had a similar problem, and they had gathered together at the local coffee shop. They were complaining and whining amongst each other about the challenges of gardening with rabbits, and they made a pact with one another. They said, okay, well, let's go back for a month or two and try some different remedies for these rabbits, and we will reconvene in a couple of months, and we'll share what lessons we've learned. Which they did. And so a couple months passed, and they came back to the same coffee shop, and the first person said, well, I tried something. And they said, well, what was it? And they said, well, I went to the local gardening store, and they gave me this kind of spray, and they said, if I spray it at the base of each of the plants that the rabbits like, it'll prevent them from bothering the plants. And everyone said, well, did it work? And said, no, it didn't. The next one said, well, I tried this home-brewed kind of remedy with safe but effective ingredients from my kitchen, cayenne pepper, garlic powder, mustard powder, and so forth, that you mix together in a little paste, and then again, you sprinkle it around the plants. And they said, did it work? No. The third one said, well, I went online to Amazon, and I ordered a little gizmo that presumably put out a high-pitched squeal that we can't hear, but the rabbits can. And it got really good reviews. I had great hopes for it. And they said, well, did it work? And she said, no. The fourth one sat there smiling, and they looked and said, well, what's up? And he said, I think I figured it out. And they said, well, what did you do? And he said, well, I invited the local pastor over. We confirmed the rabbits, and we haven't seen him since. I usually have to wait long enough for a couple of waves of laughter. You may think, well, Tim, how can you possibly say that? I say it honestly in part because it gets at a deep misunderstanding of what confirmation is. And in fairness, we all, the pastors, the wonderful musicians, thank you musicians for your music, even the confirmands, I mean, here they are, they're in robes. We make it feel a lot like this is the end of the line, right? It feels a lot like what? A graduation, right? And so the message in a lot of ways, again, the beautiful music, you're surrounded by friends, there's a speech, The message seems to be you've completed your studies and now you're moving on, and like those rabbits that were confirmed, we won't ever see you again. That again is a deep, deep misunderstanding of what we're doing here today and what confirmation is all about. And I want to talk a little bit about that. What we're really doing today, and yes, we are celebrating you ninth graders, this is a very important milestone, but what we're really doing today is the same thing we do in every worship service that we have in this space, and all that we do in our life of faith. We are gathering together to celebrate not our achievements or what we've accomplished, but we're coming together to celebrate what? God's love for us. And I want to point out a few specific ways that we reinforce that point in a service, in this service. This is not the only ways, but they're kind of important ones. One is right on the cover, okay? In this prayer, we actually say a form of this prayer a couple times, once out loud to everyone, and then once a slightly different form to each of the confirmands. And if you look at that prayer or blessing, you will notice that who is the person doing the acting? Who is the one with agency? It is not us, it's not the confirmands, it's God. Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit, you, God, have made these men and women your own. You forgave them all their sins and brought them to newness of life. You, God, please continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit. You daily increase in them the gifts, your gifts of grace, and so forth, okay? So this is on the very cover of the bulletin, right? So that's the first. The second, again, we will come, or the confirmands, you'll come forward. We talked about this. There's always a little challenge with the logistics of getting them up and down from here, but you're going to do great. You're going to come forward and kneel here in a little bit. And again, you will do what? You will receive a blessing. You don't accomplish that blessing. You don't reach for it. You kneel and hands are placed on you and a prayer is spoken over you to receive. Right? God is the one doing the work. And then for all of us, we're observing those other things, but then we all come forward eventually for Holy Communion, right? And again, when we come for Holy Communion, and Pastor Mark will explain how we do that a little differently at today's service, but again, you don't accomplish communion, you don't achieve communion, you do what? You hold your hand out and receive it as a gift from the God who loves you, okay? So the important thing I want to reinforce here is that we come here to celebrate the deep, abiding love of this God who is always, always, always reaching out to us. One image or metaphor I've talked about before about this, which I am going to repeat here because I think it's actually a very effective one, involves a household, what would you call it, item that all of you are very familiar with. Has anyone here heard of Velcro? Yeah. Does anyone remember what the generic name of Velcro is? Hook and loop fastener, right? So Velcro is made up, at least most kinds are made of one side which has loops and the other side which has hooks. And, you know, intuitively, the hooks do what? They hook into the loops. So an image for us as we reflect on this God who loves us so much is to think about, okay, in the life of faith, am I the hooks? Am I down here sort of reaching up, again, this is a metaphor, an image, am I reaching up trying to hook onto the loop of God? Or am I the loop? And am I allowing God to come down and hook me in my life? And what I want to suggest to you today, more than suggest, maybe what I want to declare to you today, is we are always and everywhere the loops that receive God's love, right? God is the one who initiates. Again, I pointed out that prayer. It's God who has the agency. Now, a very fair question then would be, well, if God is the one doing the work, and I'm only receiving all of these things, what's my role in the life of faith? It's a very fair question. And again, here, the Velcro image is, I think, profoundly helpful. Do we have any Velcro engineers in the house today? Do you know how you make Velcro more effective in terms of its capacity to hold things together? Is it by pushing harder on it? No, it's by doing what? Increasing the area of it. You can test this out at home. A little 1-inch square of Velcro will have a certain holding power. A 1 square foot bit of Velcro will have much more holding power. Does that make sense to you? Yeah? Feel free to nod your heads. Okay. So if we are the loops receiving God's love, I think an appropriate way for us to think about the life of faith is that throughout our entire lives, we are attempting, with God's help, to expand, let's call it the space in our hearts, to receive that love, to open up ourselves up more fully to that gracious love which comes to us unsought. And how do we do this? And here again, confirmands, I'm going to point to something that's in the service that's coming up, and it's in every baptismal service, by the way, as well. This is on page 4. And here's where you have the great privilege, confirmands, of responding to God's invitation of love by, again, attempting, with God's help, to allow yourselves to be more open to it in the following ways. And these are the promises that parents and godparents made for you and which you will now take up for yourself today. This is the top of page 4. You have made public profession of your faith. We ask, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to do these 5 things: to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. When we do that as Christians, which again is not simply your charge, your invitation, it's an invitation and charge for all of us, one way to think about what happens is our hearts become larger. The space becomes bigger for God to work with us. And confirmands, I am unapologetic about this. I believe with all my heart that you need the church and that you need God. But the opposite of that is also true. The corollary to that is also true. The church needs you. The church needs your gifts. The church needs the unique individual that each and every one of you is. Not for the church of the future, by the way, but for the church of today. And so we celebrate, yes, your confirmation, but we celebrate even more the love of God which calls each of you to this grand adventure of a life of service. And I pray that, unlike the rabbits, we will see you again. Earlier this week, and this is my final thought, I shared with you a story about a very famous theologian of the 20th century. His name is Karl Barth. Super important theologian, for real. He wrote very long books with big words in them. When he was older, he was giving a talk. This is a true story, unlike the one about the rabbits. Someone in the audience said, "Professor Barth, you know, this is an incredibly important theologian, super historically significant." And someone said, "Professor Barth, what's the most important thing you've ever learned in all of your study?" And Professor Barth said simply, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." So, let's conclude my remarks by singing the first verse of that together, shall we? Jesus loves me, this I know.